Welcome to the podcast for the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing, CSTW, at The Ohio State University. Today, we'll be featuring excerpts from a workshop called Beyond the Pedia, Wikis as Collaborative Writing Tools. This episode, number 3 in the series, features Isaac Jones, a software developer for Galois. He discusses his daily use of podcasts both at work and at home. Other podcasts in this workshop series are available on our site at www.cstw.osu.edu. as well as being available on iTunes.
Well, why don't we move on to Isaac. And are you there, Isaac?
I'm here.
Excellent. Now, Isaac Jones, as I told you, is the person to blame for getting me onto wikis. And as I said, he's an alumnus of Ohio State, came out of the computer science and engineering program, worked here for a while, and then sadly had to leave us for Portland, Oregon, where he now works as a programmer for Galois. And so when I thought of this, it was a great opportunity to get in touch with Isaac again. But I knew that he would be a really great person to talk to you all, to give you a perspective of a professional who uses wikis in his everyday work. And as someone, too, I think who is really able to think in some broad ways about, you know, how to use this technology. He's one of those techies that's really good, I think, at explaining how to use technology in very down-to-earth ways. So thank you so much, Isaac, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And just let me know what you want me to do with your link site here.
Okay, will do. Well, hello, everybody.
Hi.
Great to see so many people there with interest in wikis.
You can see us.
Yes, I can see you. You can't see me. I can hear you, too, and if there's a microphone next to you, and you whisper to the person sitting next to you, there's a good chance I can hear you.
This guy's crazy.
A word of warning. Do you have any snide remarks about Micah's here? Anyway, I guess I should apologize for my virtual presence, which is really pretty limited. For some reason, we couldn't get my video system to talk to yours. Sometimes I think that the internet is a huge tower of Babel, but in some way it's got, you know, a lot of Babel fish swimming around inside it. They're trying to translate all these different ways of communicating. The internet seems to raise our expectations about communicating with people, anyone, anytime, anywhere, but then the methods of communication available to us are pretty limited to just meeting together and talking one-on-one, aren't they? I did have an idea. I thought about setting up a wiki for this talk, and then anybody there with laptop computers, maybe you could give me suggestions about the talk or raise a slide while I'm giving the talk. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, I'm going to...
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a delay. You can go ahead and try and ask questions or interrupt me. Okay, so don't worry about that. We'll try. Anyway, I guess I'll talk to you a bit about my experience and uses of wikis. I've been pretty immersed in wikis over the last few years, using them in my work and just generally over the internet collaborating with people. So everyone's pretty familiar with Wikipedia, right?
Yes.
So Wikipedia is kind of the gold standard of wikis, and I've got a link there. Maybe Chris can just click on Wikipedia so you can see it while I'm talking.
Yeah.
I'm not too much into PowerPoint. But what is Wikipedia? It's an encyclopedia, or you might call it a knowledge repository. It's a collection of interlinked articles. And actually, just yesterday, the U.S. government announced that it launched something called Intellipedia. Did anybody see that?
Yes. It's for the intelligence community?
That's right. It's like Wikipedia, but for intelligence agencies. It's another, perhaps, kind of knowledge repository. And there's a lot of wikis on the internet for every topic. One wiki that I really like, and maybe Chris can navigate to that link, it's another knowledge repository about the game of Go. Now, Go is a game that's kind of a bit like chess. This wiki is really neat. It has tutorials, has historical games, has some exercises you can do to get better at the game. But it's a knowledge repository, just like Wikipedia. collaborative writing as well. Let's say two researchers want to collaborate on a paper together. A wiki or Google Documents might be a really nice way to do that instead of email or documents back and forth so that only one person can edit at a time and pass the baton, as someone said. Why not write a paper on a wiki or with Google Documents? But one difference that I see between a wiki and Google Documents is that a wiki can be a knowledge repository instead of just a means of collaborating on a document. It's not all about, when you're using Google Docs, it's not really about collecting information on a particular topic like that Go Wiki. It's about two or three people crafting a piece of writing together, and it's an effective technology for that. So that's two different kinds of uses for wiki that I mentioned so far. There's knowledge repositories like Wikipedia and collaborative documents, kind of like Google Docs. But they're really pretty different uses, actually. But we can imagine using wikis for both of those uses. And there's actually a third kind that I've been thinking about a lot recently. I think it's really interesting. We could call it situation awareness. And you can get a really vivid picture of this particular use of wikis if you look at the Wikipedia article on the London bombings of July 2005. Maybe Chris could navigate to the London bombing link, the first one there.
What did you call this use of wikis?
Let's call it situation awareness.
Okay.
I'll elaborate a little bit on that. So this London bombing article is really in-depth and really up-to-date. Been edited several times today, I think. But if you click on my other link, or if you click on the history link there, you can navigate to the very first entry for this article, where I'm getting into the situation awareness.
Is it early?
So maybe Chris King. You could, go to Earth, that'll be the same. Is it up there?
Yeah.
If you scroll to the bottom, you'll see the article was started about 20 minutes after the bombing happened. It was started at around 9:18 a.m. with just a brief mention of the attacks. And if you know how to navigate that, you can see the actual first goal. But if you look at that history, you can see that even before 10 o'clock, it was being actively edited by several different dedicated people. As different people learned different things from different sources, they all jumped onto Wikipedia and updated the article in real time. So an understanding of the situation in London kind of emerged. It wasn't really quite a news article. It was like an encyclopedia being written in real time. I just find that really fascinating. So that's what I'm calling situation awareness. It's not completely different from what news provides us, but it is slightly different, I think. So those are my three different kinds of uses that I've been thinking about for wikis. There's knowledge repositories, which are like encyclopedias, or situation awareness, which isn't so different from the news. And what you guys are probably pretty interested in collaborative writing, which is a bit more like an elegant version of emailing Word documents around. And maybe Google Docs is good for collaborative writing, but maybe it's not so great for the other kinds of uses that we see wikis being used for. So I'm a software engineer. What do I use wikis for in software engineering? Maybe Chris could navigate to the Haskell Prime Wiki link there. Most of my wikis are as knowledge repositories. We collect all kinds of information using wikis. We collect ideas about how to design a software system or our understanding of what the customer wants from our software. And even with to-do items or action items from the software. So a good example of a wiki used way is the Haskell Prime Wiki that I'm having Chris show you. Chris is my lovely assistant, by the way. Thank you, Chris. Haskell is a computer programming language, and a few of us are working to design the next version of this language. And you can click around this website on your own if you want to see an example of using a wiki in a technical environment. But the knowledge repository is great because we can structure the whole website however we please. The committee who's working on this language, it's not the same as writing a technical paper. We have links to technical papers. We have links to email discussions, and we have a description of a proposed solution to technical problems. I really like wikis. so much that I actually tricked the company I worked for into adopting them. Around here, we end up using wikis for just about everything. The wiki we use is called Track. It has a nifty extension where you can add to-do items. They use wiki markup. It's kind of like a big to-do list or a bug tracker if you're familiar with bug tracking in compute programs. We use it to collect all kinds of information about the company itself. We use it to plan events. We use it to plan trips to visit customers, to design software even. We even actually use it to perform annual reviews of our coworkers, although the reviews aren't really a collaborative effort since they're pretty private, right? So let's see, that's about how I use wikis. I don't really know the history of wikis. I have the feeling that they emerged from this tradition of open source software development, which is something I'm very involved in. It's about people collaborating over the internet on computer software. And probably an early precursor to wikis are what we call version control systems, which allow programmers in different areas to work together on a computer program, very similarly to a collaborative document or collaborative writing. So writing computer software together over the internet, something I've been doing a lot of even before wikis appeared, and now wikis are emerging as a way to document that software, which is really kind of neat. So we collaborate on the software, we collaborate on the documentation for the software, and even the end users collaborate on the documentation for the software. So if they don't think the documentation is very good, well, they can go ahead and write the documentation for us. Programmers don't really tend to look through documentation. So that's really about all I have. I'm excited that all you folks are interested in using wikis in your classes and maybe in your research groups. Try to think about the three uses of wikis I mentioned. I'm sure you can come up with more categories of uses, and I'm sure we will just invent new uses for this technology. Be glad to sort of participate in or try to participate in any questions or comments you guys have for me. Thanks a lot, Chris, for being my lovely assistant.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Diggy has a question.
When you were talking about this situational awareness, I started thinking about the history department and how they might, I mean, it wouldn't be like an immediate situation necessarily that they would want to document, but it could be something that had been going on for 500 years and that they could, you know, their students could get together and collaborate on making knowledge about that event. I'm wondering, how would that differ then from a knowledge repository, or would it? Are you thinking that the situational awareness is more sort of timed to be, you know, immediate and current?
I don't know. Sort of as events unfold, you have, you know, the history of the events unfolding, and you also have the history of our understanding of those events unfolding.
Yeah.
So when you look at that London bomb article, you see, you don't see a chronological order of people ending, saying what happened when. You see a chronological order of when people were understanding things. Right. I think that once it reaches, once it sort of reaches a fixed point where that event isn't happening anymore, then it sort of becomes a part of a larger knowledge repository, part of a history book. So it goes from, it, when the situation is no longer changing, maybe it moves from being one to the other, I don't know. That would be really fun, though, a collaborative history project.
Well, it seems like it mirrors the, in some ways, the process of academic labor and intellectual labor in the first place, except like all in one place. So, you know, thinking about, say, I'll reveal my medievalist in me, you know, the rebellion, peasants' rebellion of 1381. If you can, you know, look at the history of people writing about that, that could be conceived as a wiki, but you don't necessarily see it in one place unless you're, say, teaching a class on it,
right.
In which case the class itself becomes a sort of wiki. They're growing to an understanding, so I think that's a really cool way of thinking about that.
I would also have to think that the Peasants' Rebellion of 1381 would have been greatly aided by a wiki.
Yeah.
That would have really helped
See, the medieval geek in me is actually sort of saying, actually, you know, that in some ways is the case. I wish I had Richard Firth Green here, who actually wrote about that. But anyway, any other questions for Isaac?
Yeah, I have a question, actually. Or not really a question. I was thinking about the last point you were making about software documentation and how wikis are a great tool for letting, you know, kind of like maybe non-experts or people from the user end to kind of come in and collaborate. I mean, which I think is one of the points of this kind of software, is that it kind of breaks down that that kind of hierarchy of knowledge generation. So you're not like the wizard with the magic stone anymore. It's kind of like shared knowledge that everyone kind of has access in creating. So there was no question.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the founders of Wikipedia actually was a philosophy grad student here at Ohio State several years ago, and he actually left Wikipedia. Not necessarily with bad blood, but because he wanted to re-institute the hierarchy, knowledge creation hierarchy on his own. So he's created his own new wiki called Citizendium, where contributors you can't post anonymously as you can in Wikipedia, but you can if you post a CV online, you can be allowed to create articles and you'll have a hierarchical control over particular articles. So he's trying to reintroduce that sense of expertise, as he would say. Any other questions?
Yeah, it's just a
go ahead.
Sorry, it's just a software, you know, you can use it for Wikipedia happens to be open to everyone, but you know, the internal wiki we use here at work certainly isn't open to everyone. So anyway, I was just thinking that the uses for the software aren't necessarily tied to, exactly the way Wikipedia does things.
Well, even Wikipedia itself has to deal with those kinds of issues internally. Like they have to end up locking down certain pages just because the activity on them is so volatile, particularly political pages. So even that entirely open, unfettered access model doesn't even work within Wikipedia's garden all the time.
Yeah. We should start one called Elitopedia.
Elitopedia.
I have a question about sort of going back to the end user issue that you brought up. I'm interested in professional communication as a teaching field and as a publishing field, and usability testing is one of the things that drives that area of study. And so my question is more specific, and that is, how intrusive might you find end users if they had ongoing access to you and your code and your feature requests and that sort of thing as you're developing software? I mean,
it actually does happen quite a bit that the users have a big influence as the software is being written over the features that get added to the software. What can tend to happen is a kind of incoherent collection of features. As you can imagine, you know, many people writing in a single document, similarly, you could have kind of lack of coherence in a software program. Fortunately, the culture is such that I, as a programmer, am allowed to vet feature requests from users, and I can say, okay, yeah, you want to use the software this way, maybe I should turn it on its head a little bit and implement it in a way I think would be more consistent with the overall whole. And sometimes when people contribute software or bits of software to my code, I can ask them nicely to thank them very much for contributing and ask them very nicely to please, you know, turn it on its head a little bit and make it more consistent with what's already there, or consistent with my vision of where it should go.
So that sounds like an open source sort of model of development too.
That's right.
Other questions?
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it did. I think that's what I'm thinking of doing is applying this technology as a way of trying to find a project that somebody's working on and at a distance, hopefully, so that it's sort of real and useful. It could be a distance in time as well as space. It doesn't have just the convenience of wikis, even if they're all, everybody's in the same classroom. I think, as they said before, I think is important. But then having my students be the part of the usability testing of that, you know, that work that's going on in real time, and sort of experimenting with it, so that my students will see the real possibilities of real time sort of intervention in that work that's going on.
Yeah, that's really neat.
I have a long ways to go with this, obviously.
Great. Other questions? Great. Well, thanks a lot, Isaac.
Well, thank you guys for listening to my disembodied voice over here.